the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Brothers and sisters, we continue to celebrate one of the 12 great feasts, the entrance of the Most Holy Mother of God into the temple. The icon is in the center of the church. We're adorned in the church in blue, the color of the Mother of God, and we rejoice in this feast. It's a feast that speaks to us about many things. We spoke on the day of the feast, November 21st, about offerings. Today we'll also speak a little bit about the name of God. These are two mysteries of the temple, the Old Testament temple. That was the place where offerings were brought, where sacrifices were made to the Lord. And it's the place where the name of God was proclaimed, albeit even in silence. We'll speak about that. In the hymn on the Apostica from the feast, we have some liturgical poetry. Anna, who is the mother of the Mother of God, Anna, being the namesake of grace, joyfully brings into the temple of God the pure and ever virgin who is full of grace, and calls young girls to go before her with lamps in hand. She says, "Go, child, to him who gave you to me, God, to be an offering and a sweet-smelling incense. Go into the inner sanctuary, which none may enter. Learn its mysteries, and prepare yourself to become the pleasing and fair dwelling place of Jesus, who grants the world great mercy." This is liturgical poetry, because at the time, of course, Anna did not know the name of the Messiah, that his name would be Jesus. She didn't have that prophetic insight. All she was doing was what she promised that she would do, which is dedicate her child, who she received from God in old age after having been barren for many years, dedicate her back to the Lord. This was a promise that she and Joachim made, that if they were granted a child in their later years, that they would dedicate this child back to God. So, as you see in the icon, the Mother of God is brought to the temple, where she is presented by her parents, Joachim and Anna. And it's there in this temple where she would be for about 10 years, from age 3 to 13, she began to learn the mysteries there. First, as we said, and we spoke about a little bit on the feast, is the mystery of offering and sacrifice. This is what took place in that temple. There were voluntary and mandatory offerings and sacrifices. They were for intentional and unintentional sins, those known and those unknown, burnt offerings, grain offerings, drink offerings, peace offerings, wave offerings, thanksgiving offerings, meal offerings, etc. And they weren't just bulls and goats, but other types of animals, grain and oil, and also cold, hard cash, tithes, taxes, offerings, and two mites. All of this was being offered at the temple. If you were to kind of look down from heaven upon this temple, you would see the Israelites coming from all over their kingdom, walking towards the temple with their offerings, bringing things to present. The priests would receive these offerings and then bring them into the temple. And on the Day of Atonement, once a year, the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies and make that sacrificial offering. Everything was like a funnel coming together so that it might be offered up to God. And it was there in the temple that the Virgin Mary decided that the offering that her parents made of her to God would be an offering that she would also participate in. She wanted to offer herself to God. She wanted to remain in that temple in virginity. Of course, this was not the custom. And at age 13, she had to leave the temple. She was entrusted to the elder Joseph, who would guard her virginity. And she continued to offer that virginity even in her marriage. But she wanted to do more. She wanted to do everything she could for God. And she, by God's providence, also then offered to him the gift of motherhood. Miraculous. Both virginity and motherhood united in the same person. The two great gifts that a woman can offer. Virginity, chastity, and motherhood. She offered them both to God. She offered herself to God, which was, of course, the fulfillment of all of those other offerings. When people brought stuff to the temple, they were bringing a portion of who they were. These things had meaning to them. Their food, their animals, their money, their time. Right? They were bringing, if you will, a portion of themselves to that temple. Christ fulfills all of that and doesn't bring a portion. He doesn't bring that which is external, but he brings himself as that offering, as that sacrifice. He fulfills all of those offerings and those sacrifices. He doesn't abolish. He doesn't get rid of that. Sometimes we as Christians think, well, Christ offered the sacrifice. We don't have to offer anything. We don't have to sacrifice at all. If we had that attitude, brothers and sisters, we would be worse than the Old Testament people who offer just a portion. Christ wants us to offer through him and in him everything, ourselves, entirely to God. We even sing so many times in the liturgy, commemorating our most pure, most blessed Lady Theotokos and Ever Virgin Mary and all the saints. Let us commend ourselves and each other and all our life unto Christ. But everything is offered to God, and Christ allows us to do that. He completes and fulfills the Old Testament offerings and sacrifices. Now, the name of God. We've been speaking about the Lord's name in our Orthodoxy 101. Many of you have attended that. And we ran out of time in our 30-minute session last Sunday. We're going to continue that today in the Orthodoxy 101. And I can't recap everything for you and put it into a 20-minute sermon. It's impossible. I'm not going to even try. But we'll say something very briefly, just a little part of what we talked about. In the Old Testament, the name of God was mysterious. It was the name of the utterly transcendent one, a name that they knew in mystery. They spoke about God in the singular and in the plural. They used descriptive words that talked about his majesty, about how he was creator, about how he cared for his people, and he was merciful, but he was also a judge. They had a word that they would use for God that was spoken to Moses when Moses asked, "What is your name so I can tell the people?" It was a word that they wrote down but left out the vowels, so nobody would even dare to pronounce that word. Then later, in their scriptural manuscript tradition, they began to remove even the word with just the consonant letters, and they replaced it with the Lord, so nobody would pronounce that name because it was so high and so exalted. That pronunciation of the name was only done by the high priest once a year on the Day of Atonement, when he went in with that sacrifice to the innermost sanctuary. That name was highly revered, a name of great mystery. When the Mother of God enters into the temple, she's received by the priest Zechariah, who brings her into the Holy of Holies. She enters where no one is supposed to go. Zechariah, as we know, was martyred by the Jews between the altar and the holy place, as the Lord said, because of this, because of what he had done. She enters into the Holy of Holies, and she begins to hear and contemplate that name, the name of God. And she glorifies that name. When the angel Gabriel comes to visit her and asks her if she's willing to offer herself, not just in virginity, but also in motherhood, name is given for this child. Name is Jesus. Jesus means Savior, the one who will save his people from their sins. It's Jesus Christ who is that God incarnate. And she begins to say that name to her son in childhood as he grows up. She begins to see this name being spread about all over Judea, Samaria. She begins to see how this name would be carried into the ends of the earth We read about this throughout the Acts of the Apostles. Metropolitan Hilarion, who speaks about this name of Jesus, he says, all the actions of the apostles are linked to the name of Jesus. This is the name they preach, for which they suffer, which they know to be saving, in which they work miracles, in which they baptize. It's this name of Jesus that would go out into all of the world. The one who enters into the Holy of Holies. The one whose name is said there. Now, if we think about that view from heaven, that view from heaven of God seeing all the people bringing their offerings from the Jewish kingdom to the temple, we might also hear from heaven the name of God pronounced in that temple. But bound by the temple, bound by the Jewish people who alone knew the name of God, bound by the walls of the Holy of Holies. When Christ comes, he makes his name known throughout all of the world. The sound waves, if you will, extend beyond the temple. They extend beyond the city of Jerusalem, beyond Judea, Samaria, even to the ends of the earth. The name of God is praised throughout all of the world. And you know what all of the world does in response? Just what the Jews had done when they heard the name of God. They come and they bring their offerings. All of the world comes and brings their offerings. And what is the offering they bring? But themselves. That's what we come here at the church to do, brothers and sisters. To hear the name of God. The name of God proclaimed in Jesus Christ. To offer ourselves and our whole life back to him. To do what the Mother of God had done in the temple. Sometimes it's said, well, you know, but isn't God everywhere? What was so special about that temple? What's so special about the church? It was asked the priest once that question. And the priest thought for a second. He came up with a very clever response. And it's a clever question, by the way, we should say, right? It is a legitimate question. Isn't God everywhere? Can't we pray to him everywhere? He said this, the whole atmosphere is filled with water. But when you want to drink, you have to go to a fountain or a well. The whole atmosphere is filled with water, but when you want to drink, you have to go to a fountain or a well. God's presence is everywhere. His name is known everywhere. That's because of the fountain of the church, the well of the church. My sisters, it's our job to offer ourselves in response to God's call. To offer our lives to him, to make his name known, and to do it through the church, through the body of Christ. This is our job, this is our activity, this is our joy. Let us follow the Mother of God in offering ourselves and rejoicing in God's holy name. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.